it's the Southside's own Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
There's a blast deep into the night, and a two-run homer for Baez. And there it goes. Abreu massacres this ball to left center field.
Donna goes in motion left. Snap it to Michelle. He's running to the left. Angling, 25-20. Got a block for Brown. 50, 10, 5. Touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. Don't win it. We're headed to Atlanta.
Trubisky's going to run it. And he is going to get a first down. How about Trubisky to the 42-yard line? Oh, my goodness.
In the ring, Steamboat's got him up. A slam. The player inside Craywood, too. He did it. He did it. Steamboat's like Bethel. And Blair has done it. Blair has done it.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
What's up? What's up? And welcome in. You're listening to Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app with open phone lines for you at 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is our telephone number here on this Bear Down Monday. Hit me up on Twitter, twitter.com, tweetjhood. Also on Snapchat, snapjhood. You follow me on Snapchat, I will follow you back guaranteed. On the program tonight, we will have a wall of sound for you. Some interesting thoughts from House Hall today. If, in case you missed it and weren't around today, we've got Matt Nagy. We've got Mitch Trubisky. We've got all you need for our wall of sound. Also have Tales from the Hood, stories of sports, entertainment, everything else in between. Also, we'll hear from Jeff Dickerson, who covers the Bears for ESPN.com. And NFL Nation will get his thoughts about the Bears and their loss against the New England Patriots. And Malika Andrews, new to ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. We'll hear from Malika Andrews, who covers the Bulls for ESPN.com. We'll get her thoughts about some of the issues around the Bulls, also in the Midwest with the Bucks and the Detroit Pistons, all part of the mix right here on ESPN 1000. Hope that you had a great weekend. Great to have you with me here until 10 o'clock as we spend time together breaking down the Bears with this Bears loss against the New England Patriots. So if you have not called the show in a long time and you're looking to jump in and couldn't get in all day with some of the other shows, here I am. 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. Can you tell the difference between an elite football team that has a bad game and a team that is trending in the wrong direction? Can you tell the difference? One of those teams I'm describing is the New England Patriots. And the other team would be the Chicago Bears. That was on full display yesterday at Soldier Field. And let's not get it twisted, okay? I didn't believe that the Bears were going to win yesterday because even without Rob Gronkowski at tight end for New England, it was going to be an uphill climb for the Bears in all three phases. And Bill Belichick and Tom Brady are on the opposite sideline. So pack a lunch, right? It's never easy against that team. Even though the Patriots don't look Patriot-like at this point of the season, the point is that they're better than the Bears. They're better coached than the Bears. They have better personnel than the Bears. And so even though Vegas and many looked at this particular matchup and thought, well, it's a great possibility that the Bears could get the upset, it just didn't happen yesterday. I know the narrative for some will be the Bears were just 1 yard away from being able to tie that game up and get it into a position where they can win. Actually, if you look at that game for 3+ hours, it really didn't come down to Kevin White not getting into the end zone. There's a lot of other issues with this Bears team that we'll talk about as we move forward here on Under the Hood. The Bears, to me, beat themselves as much as the Patriots beat them yesterday for a myriad of reasons. Why didn't the Bears run the football more often yesterday? I understand that we're in the RPO era of football, especially with Matt Nagy being a offensive coordinator with the Kansas City Chiefs, now the head coach, and he's bringing on some of that Nagy dust, some of that RPO dust to Soldier Field. Yes, there's some razzle-dazzle. There's some interest with this Bears offense because it looks good on paper. It sounds great from sound bites. But we haven't seen the full array as often as I thought we would. We saw in the Tampa game, that was pretty easy for Mitch Trubisky because the defense let down. The defense was unable to catch up with Trubisky in the offense. And so we saw that in the Tampa game for sure. But why didn't the Bears run the football more often yesterday? You know, the Bears ran the football 25 times, good for 134 yards. 81 of those yards were from Mitch Trubisky. And fine, he can roll out in the pocket. And fine, he can run with the football. But so could Jay Cutler. And so could Bobby Douglas. And so could Vince Evans. And so could Doug Flutie and all these other Bears quarterbacks that could not find open receivers in the past. And so on and so forth. So nobody was getting open and getting separation against the Patriots defense yesterday? Is that what happened? I was not there. I watched on television. And I'm watching from the Hood Cave, and I'm watching, and I'm just saying, man, this is where you miss the XFL. What I mean by that is that the way the XFL was shot when it was in operation, you could actually see the route running. I would have loved to see for four quarters the actual route running, because that would give me a better indication on whether or not receivers were fighting to get open, or was Trubisky just late on the reads. Now, based on people that were there that I talked to and those that have played the game, it's a lot of both, actually, when it comes to the Bears and the offense. We talk about this with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. The Patriots defense that was 24th against the rush and 20th in points allowed and getting gouged every game, surrendering at 390 yards per game, somehow, some way, the Bears cannot run the football and be able to take more time off the clock. How is this offense any better the last few games than when Glennon and Cutler was under center? I'm watching the ebb and flow of that game yesterday, and what I'm seeing is that I'm seeing Trubisky roll out, look down the field, and he sees nothing but green grass and poor Patriots secondary players. Apparently, because I guess he didn't see any Bears players. And then when he did see Bears players, sometimes he could not connect with those receivers, which is also another issue. Trubisky at times took the snap, and all he saw was green grass. Either Mitch isn't getting the ball out quick enough, or nobody's just open, except Trey Burton. I mean, I don't know how to read that, because watching that game yesterday and then watching some of it this morning, I'm just saying, like, I can't understand when Matt Nagy says that Trubisky had a good game and he's breaking down play after play, quarter after quarter, and talking about how Trubisky did a fine. It was up to the receivers. He kind of put it in their laps and talked about how the receivers didn't do what they need to do. And so the question was posed to Matt Nagy, the head coach for the Bears, was Mitch accurate? And Nagy said,
no, well, there was a couple throws. I'd say to your answer, yes. There was a couple throws where I think, no, he was right on. So when you throw the ball 50 times, there's going to be some that are inaccurate. This is this kid's second year in the NFL, and this is his first year in our offense. So not everything's going to be dead on. He had a good game today.
Was Mitch accurate against the Patriots?
No, there was a couple throws.
Which is it? Was he accurate or not?
No, there was a couple throws.
Are Mitch's eyes down the field?
You go back to week one against Green Bay, and I think everyone was asking where his eyes on the offensive or on the lineman the whole time. You know, remember you guys were asking, well, why are your eyes always down at the lineman? Well, now you can see now. He's taken a step further of, okay, it's downfield, that touchdown, the check down, to now run. And when teams are going to play certain coverages and try to take certain guys away from our offense, that's a weapon that we have to use. And I thought he did a great job. I don't know what his numbers were, but it felt like to me there's a couple plays where he did a really good job of using his legs.
Hmm. Trubisky at times kind of looked out of sorts. And again, a pressurized defense is going to happen. If the offense is poor, it's because of the drop passes, it's because of the poor route running, and also the play caller, Matt Nagy. See, to me, and I will say this after every Bear Down Monday, that when the Bears lose, it is on everybody. That's on the play caller who who sometimes gets it and sometimes is not, because his first time being a head coach and a play caller, it's on the personnel and it's on the scheme when the team underachieves. There's so much to look at with this Bears team. But I always think about Matt Nagy in this spot having to be able to oversee all three phases and really just focus on the offense. We found that out as well today in the press conference that really his focus is on the offense, which is great. He makes sure that Vic Fangio just takes care of the defense, that is his point of view. He just continues to work at the defense, and Nagy works on the offense. So some thoughts here from Matt Nagy as far as Mitch's play. Now, we heard from Nagy yesterday, again, asked whether or not Mitch was accurate.
There was a couple.
And so then he looked at film this morning, and he thought, okay, exactly what I saw, it wasn't necessarily all on Mitch.
Yesterday, I knew I felt it. I normally have a pretty good feeling in regards to that position and how they're playing. And going back and watching tape, he played as I thought. He played a game better than most people think he played. There were some throws now that he missed in the later part of the game. See, early in the game, there's some throws that look like he missed them, but he missed them because the guy wasn't open, and it's more of a throwaway. And so that's where, to the outsider, it looks like he's inaccurate, when really he's just trying to get the ball away because we weren't winning outside. And so our offense understands that. Our guys know it. They understand that that we got to play better. Mitchell also understands that he gets all the blame and in those type of situations. Now, he'll also be the first to tell you, and so will I, that there was a few that he wishes he had back, downfield throws, and he's got to hit those. He knows that. We know that. The one that jumps out that we talked about yesterday was the one in the end zone where Bradley Soule was in the corner. He can't do that, right? He knows that. That's a critical error that you cannot do. There's no excuses for it. He knows it. There was one later in the game towards the end where Anthony Miller was running down the middle, and we missed that one. So there's a few in there that he would want back, but there's others in there where it may look like, I don't know his numbers, what was 26 of 50, I think, where there's several throwaways in there. And that's a credit to New England for playing good defense, and we got to get better on O.
Absolutely. Some thoughts there and some bear-splaining there from Matt Nagy. A lot of bear-splaining. It's different than, obviously, the alternative of John Fox not telling you anything. But he does give you an explanation, and I just disagree with it. I disagree with it because you can bear-splain and you can continue to talk about how Mitch is getting better. It's almost like, and it happens all the time, this is something that you know, like I know. So often, coaches will speak through the media to speak through the player. He can be able to say face-to-face, Mitch, you're doing fine, and Mitch may not believe it. But now, when the head coach speaks through the media about how well Mitch is doing, then that's how Mitch is supposed to believe. Like, okay, well, if he's saying this publicly, then it must be true. You have no other choice when you're Matt Nagy because you are saddled with Mitch Trubisky. And I will, if you haven't heard me talk about him before, let me just say this again about Trubisky. I watched Trubisky in college at North Carolina, and he was only out there for a handful of games. And I thought at the time, if you're going to get Mitch Trubisky in a pro uniform, well, you're really going to have to do some work because Trubisky was not the polished product coming out of North Carolina. And I thought, boy, there's a lot to do and much to do about this quarterback, not necessarily being the genuine article, but if whoever gets him, you got to work with him. Doesn't mean that he's bad, but because he's only out there, he only played less than 18 games as a starter at North Carolina, you don't know what he is. Every single week that we watch Mitch Trubisky out there as a quarterback, we're seeing signs that he understands what the offense is. But of course, like anything else, is about execution. And last year, I gave him somewhat of a pass. I hate to use that phrase, but I say gave him somewhat of a pass because I saw the offense around him and thought, if this JV offense, who's going to be able to flourish with these guys? It wasn't going to work. just a bunch of guys out there. It wasn't going to work last year. This year, though, it's go time. And this year, Mitch Trubisky is supposed to take another step. And I think that he has. But I guess the question is, how long are we willing to wait for this to work? I know it sounds fast. And I know that maybe it's something that I want to see quickly. But here's the thing. It is a National Football League. And you do see young quarterbacks that are growing quickly. When you're in that spot as a starter, and they're not going with some bad veteran, we're going with a starter, you have to start moving quickly offensively when you have a quarterback in that spot. And so if Trubisky was some veteran quarterback just struggling to grasp a new system, that's one thing. But when the quarterback is tethered to the head coach and the offense doesn't do enough to win two winnable ball games, you have to question it. As Kevin Fishbane wrote in the Athletic.com today, Taylor Gabriel had three catches good for 26 yards. Allen Robinson had one catch for 4 yards on five targets. Anthony Miller, who had two catches for 35 yards on seven targets. The Patriots were scheming to not let the Bears beat them with big plays. And even when the receiver was open, Mr. Trubisky's inaccuracy showed. Coming off of back-to-back weeks in which Trubisky showed off the deep passing game, he was 1 of 10 on passing downs that traveled more than 20 yards in the air with two interceptions. He goes on to say that the one completed pass, obviously, was that Kevin White pass for 54 yards. That was the last play of the game. But the numbers are bowling shoe ugly. Because in the first half, Trubisky 8 for 20, good for 92 yards, averaging 4.6 yards per attempt. And again, we're talking about Gabriel came back off of back-to-back 100-yard performances. So I didn't expect a lot from Robinson because he's got the groin injury. He gave it a go. But Trubisky has been off target. And maybe that gets shored up as the season progresses. But if it doesn't, that's a big question mark. So that's one thing I look at with this Bears team offensively. Let me I will ask Matt Nagy to jump in again, because he talked about whether or not Mitch was out of rhythm today. And then Nagy said this about Mitch's performance against the Patriots.
Early on, it wasn't just Mitch. Trust me. There was a lot of people that were out of rhythm. So I thought that Mitch played a game. There's a lot of things that you guys won't see on tape that I will see. And he was really good. He had a really good game mentally. He made good decisions. There's a couple passes that he made where he was the first to come off and say, shoot, I shouldn't have made that throw, right? And so that I like, because he's knowing that. But there was a lot of throws where he gave some guys chances. We had some drops early on. We had some big drops. And, again, this is collectively. So everybody in there, we all need each other to make plays. And so, but overall, from start to finish, he was using his legs, you know, and that's a huge weapon. When you use your legs, that's a killer to the defense. And he made some great decisions of not throwing the football, using his legs and scoring a touchdown. And so I came away pleased with how he played. And, you know, it's just, it's unfortunate, because I think overall in all three phases, we just weren't good enough. And anytime you give up two touchdowns, and oh, by the way, it's the Patriots with Tom Brady, your chances are slim.
And the magical video room of Matt Nagy, he sees things that we don't see. He sees things that we don't see. He sees things that we don't see. I see Trubisky looking like Tom Brady. What do you see? You know what I saw? I saw a guy that was inaccurate. And I also saw a guy that was running for his life, because he checked down and looked around and didn't see a bear open, or maybe he just didn't see it quick enough and he ran. I don't like that. You could talk about how he has the athleticism, he can run down the field, but does that really get you to where you want to be? That tells me that there's a problem with the offense. Trubisky looked great in his magical little room there, because he sees things that you don't see. All right, Matt. How about the Bears defense? Was it my TV, or were the Bears just rushing three at Brady yesterday? Is that just my big screen TV, or was that just, or did I just keep seeing 3-3-5 out there yesterday? The Bears stayed in 3-3-5, and it seemed like that was like the case the entire game. So putting a little pressure on Brady is a bad thing now, even without Gronkowski, and then with Sony Michel running the football. Now, see, here's the thing. You've heard this in post-game shows in the past, right? The post-game shows and callers call in and say, where was the adjustments? Where was the adjustments? And then you have an old, gravelly, old bear that will say, where was the adjustments, Hamp? And Hamp says, Chevy. And so you wonder where the adjustments are, right? I also wondered where those adjustments were. I've never called a post-game show, but I was saying, thinking to myself, after Sonny Michel, my guy, goes down with an injury, how come the Bears stayed back? Khalil Mack, despite him and his injury, he was out there. And I was wondering how come the Bears did not try to rush Brady and make him uncomfortable. Now, it is Tom Brady, but he still is human. And Brady even said to him, he said, you know, I was very surprised to see Khalil Mack and Leonard Floyd so often in coverage. I guess they had a certain game plan. I mean, even him, who has seen everything, Tom Brady has seen every single coverage, and it surprised him.
It was a certain game plan they tried to execute, and they made some plays, we made some. Obviously, it came down to about 1 yard, and but I think for us to get a win on the road, it was something we've been talking about, something we needed to do, and we played a little bit better today. I think there's still a lot of things we could do better, and the Bears have a good team, so it was a great team win.
Even Tom Brady.
It was a certain game plan they tried to execute, and they made some plays, we made some.
He was surprised. you'd want to have Khalil Mack stay home, because if you drop back in coverage and he's hurt, maybe that's not a good idea. Just saying. Leonard Floyd is not 100% either, but he's doing the best that he can. Again, they dropped him in the coverage as well. I think they had a certain game plan that they tried to execute, is what Tom Brady said. Mack and Floyd dropped in the coverage. Why? Because Brady is so prone to throwing interceptions? I mean, come on, that's just inane. Fangio and the Bears defense took the PNV out of the aggressiveness of that unit the past few games by not getting to the quarterback. That's exactly what's happened. Against Brock Osweiler, against Miami, and against the Patriots yesterday, they've taken the PNV out of it. As strong as that was early, now look at what this Bears defense is. It was all good early, and now it's not. See, the Bears defense is more than just Khalil Mack. At least that's what I thought coming into the season. And now look at this Bears defense. Listen to this number. On the 38 pass plays the Patriots called, 36 attempts, as there was just one sack and one scramble. He hit the ground just 3 times at Tom Brady. On the 38 pass plays the Patriots called, 36 attempts, and there was just one sack and one scramble. He hit the ground 3 times. The Bears did, however, snap their streak of 6 quarters without a sack, Roquan Smith coming through. But here's the actual data when it comes to Bears defense, since we need to accentuate even more so what's going on with Khalil Mack. Dan Durkin did a great job in The Athletic breaking this down. Of the 34 pass plays Mack defended, he dropped into coverage 19 times. Of the 26 pass plays Floyd defended, he dropped into coverage 14 times. Of the 17 pass plays Aaron Lynch defended, he dropped into coverage 7 times. Mack and Floyd rushed together on just 8 plays. This is, again, after the injury to Sony Michel. So what I don't understand. See, when you win as a team, it's all good. But when you lose as a team, everybody needs to give blame, including the coordinators and the coaches. I don't know why there wasn't that quote-unquote adjustment made by the Bears defense after the running game ended. So here's the question. And Felix, let's open the phone lines at 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. And of course, special team speaks for themselves. That was a disaster. That doesn't happen in the Dave Tobe administration. I'll tell you that right now. I don't know what that was yesterday, but that's just as bad as special teams I've seen in a long time. And they said they haven't seen like a couple of touchdowns surrendered or bad special teams like this since the Bears in 87. That was under Danny Abramowitz, if I'm not mistaken, with Ditka in 87. So, I mean, just all three phases, poor. I want to ask you your thoughts about this. You heard my thoughts, and I got more, but I want to get your thoughts in here on this Bear Down Monday. The question, and Felix, I want you to and put this on the poll as well at ESPN 1000. What is your letter grade for the Bears through the first 6 games of the season? They're 3-3 right now, a winnable game. yesterday, a winnable game against Miami. Now, through the first six games, what's your letter grade for the Bears? 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776. You can also hit me up on Twitter as well, twitter.com. Tweet Jay Hood, also right on my Facebook wall, facebook.com. I see you guys on Facebook. It is a long thread of grades, and some of them are okay, and some of them not so okay. So we'll review those as well here on this Bear Down Monday. So we'll be guest-free here in our first hour. I want to get your thoughts, and I want to give you mine as well, because it's really disappointing that the Bears have let a couple of these games get away. You can spin it as this game, this team could be 5-1 or 6-0. You can spin it how you want. But the reality is that they're 3-3. Even Matt Nagy in his magical little room, his little magical video room, has to know that this is a 3-3 football team. They play like it. All three phases failing. Now, what happens next week against the Jets? Don't know. I guess that's the mystery of a first-year head coach, primarily a new staff, and Mitch Trubisky trying to learn on the job. Good luck to you.
You're listening to my mans and them.
Just some men that's on the mic. And when we rock up on the mic, we rock the mic.
Right? Jay Hood. On ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. You're listening to my mans and them. Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
It's a Bear Down Monday with me, Jonathan Hood, here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. For those of you not interested in Bulls basketball, here I am talking to you about the Bears and trying to get your thoughts about how you look at the Bears through the first six games of the season. Hit me up on Twitter, twitter.com, tweet Jay Hood, and also on the Facebook wall, facebook.com. Glad to be with you here on this Bear Down Monday, because it's interesting for those that have not watched Bears football to try to describe what this is. It is a team that's trying to establish a new identity offensively, and it's going to take time. However, I'm a little impatient because, look, we've seen this before, right? We've seen this before where some offensive guru, whether his name is John Shoup or whether his name is Mike Martz or whether his name is Mark Trestman, comes in to try to turn things around, right? And so my hope is that with RPOs and the gimmicks and everything else that they're trying to do, that things are trending in the right direction. See, I'm not going to be the one that's going to compare what's happening in Kansas City to what's happening in Chicago, because clearly you see the difference between the two quarterbacks. That's not fair. But what I'm looking at is each game, if there's improvements, to tell me that the Bears will contend in the NFC North. I'm not even talking about Super Bowl. Can you contend against the Packers, the Vikings, and the Lions? That's all I care about. 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. Dylan in Milwaukee on ESPN 1000, as we start off our Bears conversation. What's your letter grade for the Bears, A, B, C, D, or F? Hello, Dylan.
Hey, Hoodie, how's it going, my man? Long-time listener.
I appreciate you jumping in, man. So you hear what we're talking about with the Bears. What stands out to you?
Well, I think, okay, so first of all, my overall letter grade for the first six games of the season, I got to go with the B-. The defensive special teams have been atrocious last 2 weeks against Patriots and the Dolphins. But despite that, even though Mitch has missed a few pretty key throws, I mean, they're still putting up points and staying competitive. I didn't think that he played terrible yesterday, considering everything that we've, you know, discussed about him. Not necessarily you and I, but just in general. There's a few, you know, bad throws, a couple of forced balls that went in the end zone. You definitely can't make that. But overall, I mean, I don't feel like he played that bad of a football game and still managed to put up 31 points with virtually no help from the defense or special teams. You take those two special teams miscues away, and it's a 31-23 Bears win. I mean, against a good
Only thing is, Dylan, I can't.
No, I understand that. I understand you can't because they happen. I'm just saying, in the last two football games, you had a couple of big blown plays from Albert Wilson. That cost you. You had a couple of special teams miscues yesterday. All right, that cost you. I'm just looking at the totality of everything. Like, yeah, he's missing some throws. Yeah, he's not seeing some wide open looks down the middle of the field. You want to fix those things, but by and large, I mean,
it should be better. I'll take the B minus. When you're 3-3, you're right there in the middle. You take on a Jets team that is again, it's a beatable and it's a winnable game. But with the Bears, I don't know. That's the thing. Like, I think they're already favored, the Bears. I think it's a 5-point spread right now that the Bears are a 5-point favorite. I think that's about right. Sam Darnold looked lost yesterday against Minnesota's defense. Can that defense dial it up against the Jets? And then it's at the Bills, against the Lions, against the Vikings, and then Thanksgiving against the Lions again. So, I mean, these are some – I think New England was a great measuring stick game. Now we got to see what else the Bears can provide. Can they turn around getting through this two-game losing streak? Dylan, I'm glad you checked in from Milwaukee. Now he leaves the line open. 312-332. ESPN is our phone number. Nick and Lyons on ESPN 1000. Hi, Nick.
What's up?
What's cracking?
This is my problem. All the people that want to jump off the ledge about Trubisky, I mean, he had inaccuracies. It's fine, but
it's not fine.
We're six. We're 6th in the league in scoring, behind Hall of Famers like Tom Brady and Roethlisberger and MVP candidate and Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, and that and $1.50 can't get me on the L. What does that mean?
Right, but I'm blaming the coaches. I mean, special team touchdowns that they gave up. We probably should have won that game. I mean, you putting your best pass rushers out in coverage makes no sense to me.
I agree.
So, I mean, you're setting yourself up to fail right there. I mean, who's going to sack the quarterback? Everybody knows Tom Brady is uncomfortable when he's tap dancing. Mm-hmm. If you're not making him tap dance, and the guys that make him tap dance is covering running backs and receivers. It makes no sense to me.
I hear what you're saying, man. So I got you down for a C- after all that. I hear what you're saying. And again, when you lose, that's on everybody. That's on the coaching staff. That's on the players. I didn't like that last play. Makes it seem like the Bears are really close. And the Bears, just because of their special teams gaffes and because of how they played defensively and giving Brady a clean pocket, you just kind of knew that the loss was coming. You just didn't know how. You'll give credit that they played well enough to stay in the ball game, but those little things, our first couple of callers mentioned, are the little things is a difference between a win and a loss. Dave Weinstein used to talk about this all the time. Oh, if it wasn't for that bus coming through, if it wasn't for that 100-yard scamper, if it wasn't for this one defensive play, man, it's the little things. And so maybe this is the year where they try to show up the little things, and then they get better in the next few years. Again, maybe that's the case. But because there's so much emphasis on the quarterback in that league and so much emphasis on offense for the Bears because Matt Nagy's the head coach, man, we have to analyze this. We will get this tonight. Some of you will say that you Trubisky truthers will talk about how you can't pick on the kid or you can't talk. Hey, man, that's a grown man. And he can make mistakes, and we can point those mistakes out. And we can talk about the good things, like the Tampa game. We can talk about the good things, like the Seattle game. We can talk about the good things from Mitch Trubisky. So I think it's a balance of both. Big boy market, there's big boy rules. We can talk about all the good and the bad and try to weigh them and try to figure out, okay, how does the offense get better and more consistent, more so than anything else? Enrico in Schaumburg with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 here on this Bears Monday. Hello, Enrico.
Hey, Jonathan. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for checking in.
So I give the Bears a C-. I mean, reason being is we started the season off, I think, A+. Like, we got Khalil Mack. I think we kind of knew the whole growing pains that we were getting into, possibly. But then as, obviously, the season progressed, and even with yesterday, with all three phases just kind of, like, not progressing at all, it just kind of shows that we're on that decline trend, and that does make me question, like, can we even compete? And my impatience is kind of getting more, like, increased, because it's like, okay, how much longer can we keep waiting, you know, for this to, like, for these growing pains to get through?
Here's what's crazy, and Felix and Sean will back me on this because they've heard me say this all summer into where we are right now. I had the Bears at 7-9 in last place in the division. Like, I said that in June. I'm like, it feels like 7-9. When the schedule came out, I feel like 7-9. But then your expectations change, not fully, not like 180 degrees. It changes a little bit. because it's like, oh, okay, so you're 3-3 now, Enrico. And so now you're thinking, well, if the defense can be able to be as impactful as they were in the Packers game first half against Russell Wilson, against Seattle, against the Cardinals and Bradford and Rosen, then maybe, just maybe, they can start turning some wins around. So now my expectations have changed a little bit, where maybe they don't make the playoffs, but maybe it's better than 7-9 if the defense is right and if the offense comes together, right?
No, I agree. I think just one other thing, too, is, like, how severe is this Khalil Mack ankle injury? Like, the past two games we've seen, he's had to drop back into coverage, and it's like, is he not 100%? Like, what's going on there, you know?
Yeah.
How difficult is it to find the line where the team is better off with him on the sideline being healed, and how difficult is it to have that conversation with the player?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's not easy. It's not easy. And so that's where the trust level from both ends has to be there. The player has to understand where we're coming from as a team, as to where you at percentage wise. We all know, you know, he's not 100%, but where are you at? And so that's where, you know, we trust him, he trusts us, and then we go ahead with the plan, with the action plan, and that's what we ended up doing. But it's not an easy decision or process.
All I know is Enrico, is that after leading the league over the first quarter of the season with 4.5 sacks per game on the average, the Bears' pass rush has gone dry against immobile quarterbacks such as Tom Brady, such as Brock Osweiler. And I would go along, I think it was a good question that was posed at House Hall today. Khalil, if you can't go, I'm not going to hold it against you. If you can't go, you can't go. Because what you're doing out there is that you're hurting the ball club. And because even though you're out there, if you can't get to the quarterback, if you can't play in coverage, then why is he out there? And with Floyd's hampered with that broken hand to start the season. Can I just say this about Leonard Floyd? And as a Georgia fan, I will tell you that I saw every snap of Leonard Floyd with Georgia. So I know what Leonard Floyd is. People are just blowing me up like, Bears got Leonard Floyd, so what do you see? What's the haps? What's going on with Leonard Floyd? Well, what Leonard Floyd is that when I saw him at Georgia, he wasn't necessarily always the reason for great plays. He just happened to be around the play. Just like, it doesn't mean that he's a bad player. It's just that he has to grow into the position. Roquan Smith is the real deal. That guy, to me, especially blessed with good health, will be revered as one of the great linebackers for the Bears. I don't think there's any question about it. He was that good at Georgia. And sometimes you can look at a player on the college level and say, does it translate? It translates. Roquan Smith's going to be a special player. I didn't say that about Leonard Floyd when he was drafted for a reason. Because I saw Leonard Floyd. I'm like, Floyd's drafted. Good. People thought maybe this is Julius Peppers and all that. But, you know, he'll grow into a good position. I think he'll be fine. 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. Brian and Pilsen with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000. Hi, Brian.
Hey, man, thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming on.
So I would give the Bears a B-, and here's my reason. The Bears have lost games by single scores, 1 point, 3 points, and 7 points, but they've blown people out. Seattle shouldn't have got within a touchdown of us. That was garbage time.
Right.
We've actually played good teams well. It's just, I think the thing is that our secret's out is that Leonard Floyd is not dangerous. I mean, Akeem Hicks can get to you, and so can Khalil Mack, but if all they've got to do is double-team those guys or pull one off if nobody's coming on the side, we're not getting to the quarterback, and we were known for that, and that was a big mainstay of our team. Our offense is finding a way to score points. You can say what you want about Mitch Trubisky and his interceptions. He's creating points. Like, we're not just a dead team that can't make things happen. We're sticking with and getting good points for a reason. I'm not like crying, you know, panic, and we're going to be an 8-8 team this year. I just don't think that we're as dominant as we really expected to be, because now that teams have got a chance to get a look at us, we're really going to have to fight it out.
But you're surprised, like I'm surprised, right, Brian? Like I've raised the expectation bar a little bit because I said 7-9 before the season, but when the defense started to play, I was like, oh, maybe there's a possibility. Again, I'm not expecting playoffs, but I expect better play. I think that's fair.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, and I mean, you can say like, well, if it wasn't for those two special teams, it's like, you know what? You still got to stop Tom Brady. If Cordero Patterson has an average return, not to say Tom Brady's not going to put up 75 yards on you. Like, it's not like we're just missing it in one or two plays, but we've got to execute everywhere. I think we can win in our division, but I think we really just got to find execution at all three phases, because if one starts to go, then it's pressure on things that other people have seen already.
Brian, I'm glad you checked in. I appreciate your phone call. I want that MAC domination.
Let them learn a little about you right now. What's the MAC attack all about?
Oh, domination.
Jeff in St. Charles with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000. We talk Bears. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Hoodie. How you doing today?
I'm well.
Hey, long-time listener, first-time caller.
We appreciate it, man. Thanks for checking in.
Hey, I just called in because it sounded like you were taking it a little personally that he said that he saw some things on the tape that you didn't see, or that the guys in the room in front of him didn't see. And, you know, he's been paid a lot of money to design these plays and get these plays executed. And if things break down, you know, I kind of appreciate a coach that actually has something to say when he's on the podium, not throwing his other guys under the bus per se. You know, he is protecting his other guys, you know, but he's not saying nothing. And you know, we get to one game a year, pretty much, and we went to the Steelers game last year where Glenn led the team to a win, and watching the Trubisky, I thought, you know, he clearly overthrew guys, you know, in some key situations, but he had guys in his space all day long, and that guy creates a whole lot better than the options we had last year. So I think I gave him a B from where they're at this year, you know, especially compared to where they were last year, and in a division where you've got Rodgers, Stafford, and Kirk Cousins, you know, I think we're really competitive, and that's something that we couldn't say last year.
Here's what I don't take anything personally, especially when we're talking sports, because it doesn't mean – I don't take anything personally when it comes to sports. What I take personally is I don't want a coach coming into our city making it seem like that we've never seen football before. That's what I'm talking about. Don't put yourself – so ahead of the room that you don't think that the people in the room at House Hall, or you as a fan, or me as a fan, have not seen what we see. So again, fans have been lied to for a long time and telling you what you don't see. So the idea that someone comes into the city and making it seem like that he sees something that we don't see. Well, if you're at the game, or if you are at a vantage point where you understand what's going on with these RPOs and how it's supposed to work, and actually, even if you don't have the strategy down, the bottom line is you fell short and you lost. And there's certain reasons why that you lost. So I don't want Matt Nagy to tell me or tell you or anyone else that, well, he sees things that we don't see. Well, I saw a guy that was inaccurate, and he's making it seem like that he was Dan Marino out there, and that's not what happened. That's what I'm saying. So you can be swayed by speeches, and you can be swayed by a head coach coming in and bear-splaining his way through losses. But the bottom line is that when you fall short, he takes the blame like the players do. So the idea that you are swooning because he's not John Fox and because he has a way with words, it's fine. So did Mark Trestman. All I'm looking for is results. That's all that really matters, is development and results. And again, that's what happens when you are in a major city. When you're in a major city, you hold people accountable. Like if I wanted to cover the Carolina Panthers, I would be in Charlotte at FNZ. But I'm here in my hometown, and I'm going to call it like I see it. I want to see improvement. And I'm not going to compare Mitch to Cutler or Glennon or some of these other quarterbacks. What I will look at is the team developing? Are they winning? That's the bottom line. That's what it comes down to, Jeff. And I appreciate your telephone call. More of your thoughts about the Bears. Again, what's your letter grade? If you have not checked in, if you have not called the other shows and you haven't weren't able to get in, here I am. I got a couple open phone lines for you. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. We're doing this on a Bear Down Monday. How do you see the Bears through six games? A, B, C, D. We also have that on Twitter, twitter.com. Tweet Jay Hood at ESPN 1000 as well. How do you see the Bears? What's your letter grade through the first six games? As we talk about it here on the Bears Monday.
From your hood to Jay Hood.
I excel, then prevail. The mic is contacted. I attract clientele.
On ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
All right, we'll take more of your phone calls coming up after SportsCenter. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Your letter grade for the Bears through six games of the season. We'll get your reaction. I'll also, we'll go through a wall of sound and some of the sound that you might have missed coming up.
Yo, 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 it's Bears Talk right here with Jonathan Hood. You know, Jay Hood. Call the show now. 312-332-ESPN. Yeah, Bears with you on ESPN 1000.
Across from the iconic Chicago Theater, it's Chicago's own Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. And